Okay, so welcome. What we're going to be doing this evening is we're going to be talking about how to build a business that you're passionate about, maybe something that you're great at, something that you love, something that if you could replace your income doing whatever you're doing, you would love to be able to geek out and do this every day. And the thing that stops most people from succeeding is not the knowledge, right? Tony Robbins says that success is 80% psychology and just 20% mechanics or the how-tos. And what stops most people is the psychology. It's the mindset. It's the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I don't succeed? What if I quit my job? What, you know, and all these questions that limit us and really hold us back. And it's a natural thing, right? That's something that comes from the part of the brain called the amygdala, which is our flight or flight response center. And while it's great from saving us from a tiger, if we ever get attacked by a tiger, we know that we should get out of there. But when it comes to creating a kind of life that we really want for ourselves, to live life on our terms, you know, it can really, really hold us back. So the first and most important thing is that you have to have enough leverage on yourself. Your why really has to be big enough. So I'm just going to share quickly a little bit of my backstory so you can kind of see where all this happened for me. So 1995, I got married. And by 1998, it was February of 1998, and my wife was pregnant with our first child, Samantha. So this is February of 1998. She's now 9 months pregnant. And the thing was, is that I was in a job that I didn't really like. I was in a sales job. I was very good at the job. I hit quotas in half the month when it took everybody else a lot longer to do it. But I just didn't really enjoy it. There was no, you know, I wasn't excited about it when I got up in the morning. And the way the pay structure and pay scale was, there was a limit on how much I could make. But more than anything, I really didn't have the kind of freedom I wanted. I had a middle manager there that just wanted his hands in everything. It really didn't matter if you were a top producer or not. He still wanted to just have his hands in the mix all the time. And that was just something that didn't sit well with me, right? So I complained about it, and I complained about it for years, and really just didn't do anything about it. I just filled my wife's ear with you know, all of these tales of woe, and just really didn't do anything about it. So when I actually did something about it was when I felt enough pain, and a lot of times pain is what it takes, right? Again, people will do more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure. And that was true in my case. So where did the pain come in? Well, one of the things that was really important to me and to us is that when we decided to have a family, I wanted to be the kind of dad that was going to be there for my kids, right? I didn't want to miss one game. I didn't want to miss one concert. I didn't want to miss one activity. I didn't even want to miss a trip to the principal's office if need be, right? I just wanted to be present as a dad. And all of a sudden, I realized that at 9 months pregnant, my wife had stopped working because we had decided that we wanted to raise our kids with her being a stay-at-home mom, which is a huge job, right? I mean, it's just a massively important job and a hard job to do. You're giving up a lot of daily socialization to stay home to be able to raise the kids. It takes a lot of commitment. So while my wife made that commitment, my commitment was, okay, well, I'm going to be the sole breadwinner of the house, which also becomes very, very important. So thinking about quitting to start my own job or start my own business, most people would say, well, Bill, that's impossible. How am I? I can't do that, right? I have to make sure, right? I have to make sure that I have income coming in. That's the responsible thing to do, right? I have to make sure that I have benefits, the health insurance, and all of those kinds of things. But the thing was, is the situation that the leverage that I had on myself was that I was literally going to fail as a dad before I even became a dad if I stayed in that situation. If I use those excuses as an obstacle, as one of the dragons, if you will, that's in my right, that's in my book, right? I talk about the seven dragons, the seven obstacles that stand in your way of doing something. That's exactly where I was at that point. Well, I decided that I needed to do something about it. And I did. I did the best thing that I could think of doing is I went in and I started an argument, a fight, if you will, with my manager. And that was the day I became the CEO of my own life. And it was the best thing that I ever did. Now, it was scary as heck, right? It was really, really scary to do it. And I remember on my way home, I was thinking about what am I going to say to my wife, right? Honesty is the best policy. I thought to myself, and then I argued with myself and I said, no, that's crazy. She's going to be pissed off, right? She's going to be really mad at me. But I decided when I got home that that's what I was going to do. I was going to tell her that's what I did. And I was really surprised because when I got home and I told her that, she said, good. She said, you know, you've been complaining about it for years. It's about time. You're smart. You'll figure it out, right? And that's amazing because sometimes when you don't believe in yourself, you just need somebody else that will believe in you. Now, whether that's your spouse or a friend, or maybe it's me as a coach, whatever it is, somebody just has to have the confidence in you and you can borrow on their beliefs in you in order to make it happen. And of course, it's a lot easier to make it happen if you can follow what somebody else has already done. And that's exactly what I'm here to do today. I want to give you the framework of exactly what I did and how I did it, because I already took all the arrows in the back, right? I've already taken all the bumps and bruises. There's no reason for you to do it. And like I said, I've been doing this for 26 years. I've been the sole breadwinner of the house. So there's no trying when it comes to that, right? Because if you don't succeed, if you don't win, the village starves, right? Matter of fact, there's a show on Netflix called Alone, and they take these contestants out, 10 contestants out in the middle of nowhere and drop them off. And they basically have 10 tools to survive. And the first thing that happens when they get to the island is their first concern is food and shelter. Those are the two things. That's the only thing that's important. Well, when you start your own business, especially if you're the only income earner, you are the sole hunter. You are out there on your own. And that is exactly what you have to do. You have to make sure that you succeed to make sure that you're able to feed yourself, feed your family, and provide them with a roof over their head. I mean, that's really where it is. It can be very, very scary. But at the same time, it's exhilarating, it's exciting, especially if you are, you're competitive and you've got that drive and you've got something burning in your heart, you've got this passion for something, you will do far better by doing something that you love. You won't think about time anymore as far as, you know, punching the clock type of idea, and you can't wait to get out of there. You're literally shaping your life around something that you're passionate about. And the more that you're passionate about, Zig Ziglar says it this way. He said, selling is nothing more than a transference of feeling. And that's what it is, right? You're selling yourself every day when you start a business. And people can pick up on your energy. People can pick up on your vibe about who you are and what you do and if you're excited about it. And they're going to want to do business with you if they feel that great positive energy that's coming off of you. So a lot of it, absolutely 100%, is mindset, it's confidence, it's how you condition yourself on a daily basis and develop the beliefs, patterns, and habits that are going to allow you to accomplish things that the ordinary person isn't going to do, right? If you want the reward, you have to take the risk, but I don't want to call it an educated risk, okay? Because you're risking what you're doing based on your strength, based on your confidence, and based on your desire to create a better life for yourself. So for me, there were three things I wanted. Obviously, I wanted to be able to make more money because life is expensive. Having children is expensive. So money was a necessary thing. I definitely wanted to have passion. I wanted some meaning behind what I did. And last, I wanted freedom. I wanted the freedom to be able to work from wherever I was in the world at any given moment. And I wanted to be able to escape the cold, snowy winters of Syracuse, New York, and get down to sunny South Florida or anywhere else I wanted to be. And I wanted to be able to have that option. And that's exactly what creating my business did. So there's the why. And this is so important. This is really the biggest and most important part. But let me share my screen and let's get into the actual business blueprint that I wanted to share with you here. Okay, so one of the things that I see happen all the time is people overcomplicate their business. They just really overcomplicate the business. So my suggestion is if you can't map out your business plan, if you have an idea and you cannot map it out on a napkin and explain it to somebody who's in elementary school, it is too darn complicated. So this is actually what I sketched out on a napkin. And of course, I cleaned it up to put it into a document. But this is basically it, okay? And what I do during the actual course, as I go through these training modules, we dig into each one of them and get really crystal clear on what the assignment is, right? And we eat the elephant one bite at a time. So let's start at the beginning. And at the beginning, the first part is number one is identifying what you don't want. Now, that may sound a little odd, right, to identify what you don't want. But in my younger years, all I thought about was all the things that I wanted to add to my life. And the more things that you pile on, the more things that you have to juggle, the more things that you have to hold up all the time. And that weight, right, that weight can become very, very heavy. Well, what happens is as you get better at something and as you become more efficient at something, what starts to happen is you start to get rid of things that are unnecessary. And I know for myself, I'm just about to turn 54 now, but something magical happened when I turned 50. And one of the things that happened was that I started to identify all the things that didn't add value to my life, things that made me anxious. And what I did is I started to make a list of things that I didn't want to accept anymore, right? You get in life what you tolerate. So some things I just didn't want to tolerate anymore. And I started to make a list of all the things that didn't serve me anymore. And what happened was is when I spent the time to identify what I didn't want in my life anymore, right? The things that made me anxious, the things that frustrated me, the things that I just didn't like, all of a sudden it became really crystal clear on what I actually did want. Okay. So here's an example. And this is really important. And we'll get to this in just a minute. But one of the things that I did when I started out in coaching, for example, right, when I really went into it full time, is I always had this idea in my head that I really wanted to serve people, right? I wanted to give them 100% of myself every single day. I would always over deliver. I would always make time for people. But the challenge was, is I basically ended up creating a prison for myself because I did so much one-on-one work. I was exhausted at the end of the day. I mean, I would spend an hour with somebody on the phone. And as soon as I got off of one call, I would get on another call and then another call and then another call. I didn't take time to eat. I didn't take time to drink water. I didn't time to do any of those things. And all of a sudden I got to the end of the day and I felt like I poured out of so much of myself. But then what happened was, is that drained so much of my energy. I didn't have that energy left for my wife or for my children, right? So when I started to think about that, all of a sudden I started to say, hey, you know what? That's not what I signed up for, right? That's not why I created a business for myself, was to work myself to death and not be able to be that kind of dad or be that kind of husband for my family. So that's something that I don't want. So in step one, we'll go more into that, but I would put you to that task is to sit down and make a list of all the things that you really just don't want in your life. And you will be surprised at how very, very quickly you find out what you do want. Now, number two, this is huge. You have to get crystal clear on your avatar. What's an avatar? An avatar is your ideal customer. And I actually have a worksheet that I will share with you, and this will be part of homework when we get into the first full lesson of the course. But basically what you're doing with this avatar is you're trying to identify exactly who your ideal person is. And I always like to say it like this, right? Your ideal customer, if you had 1,000 of them, would you actually enjoy working with that person or having that person as a customer, a client, a member? Would you actually enjoy every one of those people? Matter of fact, would you like them enough to invite them over for dinner? Or perhaps would your dog like them or not like them, right? And so many times what happens is we get into business and we tolerate people and we do business with people that we don't really like. And all of a sudden, again, we've created a business around things that we don't really like. And that can be very, very frustrating, okay? So getting really clear on who your ideal prospect is huge. So for me, for example, because I'm so passionate about helping people build a business around something that they're passionate about, the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I did it, right? I did it 26 years ago. I made that bold move and I've enjoyed the freedoms that it's given me. So I know what it will do for someone's life, you know, what kind of freedoms it will give them. So generally what I'm looking for is somebody who is just like me, who has the same desires that I did, and they're just a few chapters behind me, right? But here's the thing, with an avatar, it can't be just somebody who wants the same things that I want. There's plenty of people that want, you know, to reap the rewards of what I've built, right? But there's also those people that want it, but they're not willing to put in the work. So number one, right, for my avatar, my first question to myself is always, do I actually like the person? And if I, and would I have them over for dinner? Would my dog like them? And would I respect them because they were willing to learn and they were willing to take action. They were willing to do the things that those were all the things that would make me like a person or be attracted to them is because they would be a mini me, right? Just a few chapters behind. Number two, can I help them? Well, yes, right? You cannot get into a business where you're a faker, right? You have to be somebody who's actually produced the result that you are offering to them, or the product that you're offering to them. You have to drink the Kool-Aid, right? Because otherwise you're just a big faker. And then last, they have to be willing to pay you what you're worth, right? If you are doing business with a bunch of people that I would call freeples or cheaples, people that want everything for free or they want everything cheap, and they're not willing to do the work, that's not really somebody that I really want. So we have to get really crystal clear on your avatar. And one of the reasons that's so important is because, especially today online, when you are putting ads out there or you are putting a message out there, it has to seem like I'm speaking directly to you, right? Because otherwise, if it's vanilla, it's just gonna get lost. There's so much activity. There's so many things vying for your attention online. If that message doesn't hit hard and it doesn't feel like it's speaking directly to your avatar, then you've completely missed the mark, right? You have to really get niche specific in order to speak to them. So if I'm talking to somebody and I say, hey, listen, if you're in a situation right now where, if you wanted to change careers right now, maybe you're in a business that you're in right now and you want out, it's just not serving you anymore. You're in a new chapter of your life and you're just trying to figure out which direction you want to go. This is for you, right? I could speak directly to that person and they're hearing me loud and clear because they're saying, you know what? I feel exactly like that, Bill. That's exactly where I'm at right now. If I could just figure out a way to do it, I would be done with this, right? That person is going to hear my message, but that's because I'm very clear on my avatar, okay? Number three on the business plan is identifying your fears, frustrations, and desires. Again, people generally will not do something until you touch on a pain point or something that's really bothering them. Because if they're comfortable, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to take an action. They don't have enough leverage. They don't have enough reason in order to do something. So once we know what our avatar is, right, then we have to start to figure out what are their fears, frustrations, and desires. So again, I could go back to my own story and I could say, okay, what were my fears? What were my frustrations? And what were my desires when I wanted to quit my job to be able to start my own business? Well, that was easy. Fears, obviously, are, oh my goodness, what if it doesn't work? What if I don't make enough money to support my family, right? What if it doesn't work and, you know, my family and friends say, I told you so, right? And I get ridiculed for that. What if maybe it's fear of judgment. People are saying, Bill, that's crazy. Why would you do that? That's so irresponsible to be able to do that, right? So those are some fears. Frustrations might be, you know what, I really want to do this, but I don't know how. I don't have a framework. I'm not sure exactly what to do. I've read some books. I've tried some things in the past, and it just hasn't worked. And I'm so frustrated by this whole situation. I don't know if I have enough time to do this. How am I going to do this? That can be very frustrating. And then last, desires are what it is that I actually want. So my desire was, I wanted to show up as a great husband. I wanted to show up as a great dad, right? So what I have to be able to do when I'm running my business is know who I'm talking to, who my avatar is. Then I want to identify their fears, frustrations, and desires. So when I'm creating my message, I'm touching on those things. Again, I want that person to say, wow, you know, when I was watching that, or I was listening to you on your podcast, or I was looking at, you know, I was watching your YouTube video, or I was going through your course, I felt like you were talking directly to me. And I hear that all the time when I go and I speak in front of audiences, especially when I'm doing talks on mindset for Tony Robbins. And I get in front of an audience and I really go hard on the pain. I really dig in there. And, you know, every time somebody will come up to me after the fact and say, wow, you know what? Those stories, I'm so thankful you were so vulnerable in sharing those stories because they really spoke to me. You know, it's so much like the things that are happening in my life right now. So I really am connecting with them. And that's where we have to get with your business model. Now, number four is you have to figure out what your flagship product or service is. What are you going to offer? Now, there's a lot of different kind of businesses that you can start online, right? There's product type businesses. There are information type businesses. You can create courses. One of the things that's the easiest thing to do is simply to turn around and teach something that you're amazing at. Now, with me, I've started multiple businesses online because I have studied a lot of different kinds of things. So there are a lot of different kinds of businesses I could start, but you want something that you're passionate about. I mean, that's what it's all about. You want like something you could talk about it for hours. You don't need a script. You don't need to plan out anything. You could just talk about it for hours because you've done it for so long. You're just so good at it, right? And people will generally say, oh yeah, right? You know, this person's got these qualities and they're super good at this thing. So if you create a product or service, like for me, for example, my service or my product is me teaching other people how to be able to create the same kind of life that I have by embracing your passion and starting your own business. I mean, that's really what I do, right? So when I go and I speak in front of an audience, yes, I'll talk about mindset. Yes, I'll talk about sales. But those are all precursors to taking those things to set yourself up to live a life of passion, doing something that you actually love to do. And so many times when I'm in front of people, I can see the pain on their face because they're not doing what they really love to do. So the question always is, putting money aside, right? If you didn't have to worry about money and you could spend your time doing something that you absolutely love to do, that you're great at, that you're passionate about, what would that be? Once I know that answer, that becomes your flagship product or service to be able to offer that out to other people. That becomes a whole lot of fun. It really and truly does. Number five, what is the one traffic source that you're going to master? Now, this is a tough one because we are just bombarded by different places that we can try to, post up content to get people's eyeballs, right? So we have Facebook. We have Instagram, we have LinkedIn, we have Twitter or X, we have Threads, which is a new one. We have YouTube, we have podcasting. Oh my goodness, there's so many different things. But here's the thing, before you try to go and be on all those channels, get really good at one channel. Get really, really good at one channel until you've got that down and now you can start to expand because some audiences are better on one channel than another. So for example, if I had a business where I was trying to reach out to seniors, okay? Seniors are just now getting Facebook down pretty well, okay? They're getting Facebook down pretty well. Not great, but pretty well. They don't get Instagram yet. They don't get TikTok or Snapchat or LinkedIn or X. Twitter, any of those things, they don't understand those things. They know enough to do Facebook. So if I was targeting people that were seniors, the one traffic source that I might want to master is Facebook, right? Because I know that's where I can find those people and I can connect with those people the best. Now, is that true of younger generation? No, right? Facebook is still the largest, but by and large, younger people, you're going to find a lot more of them on Instagram, right? So if I wanted to go live, for example, would I do better if I was going live on Instagram or Facebook? Again, it depends on who your target market is, okay? And then last, number six, what's the one conversion tool you're going to use to convert interested prospects into paying clients? Again, there's a lot of different options for you there. And what I will say is it really depends on what you're great at and what you prefer. So for example, there are some people who maybe are, I don't want to say that, that this is true of all cases, but some people that may be more introverted may prefer to write. They might be better at having a blog where they actually write and they're good writers. They may want to do a blog, or they may want to create a book or something like that. That might be their conversion tool that they use. Other people are very, very comfortable on video. So they might want to use YouTube, or they might want to do a webinar like I'm doing right now. I'm obviously very comfortable doing this because I've been doing it for a long time, right? Some people may want to do a webinar versus being live on stage as an example. Some people might want to use a sales funnel that is attached to a course. There's a lot of different things. So what we have to do is we have to figure out, what are you best at? What's the best way that you think that you can get somebody who's the invisible prospect that has now raised their hand and said, yes, I'm interested in what you have to offer. Tell me more. And then we are going to run them into a conversion tool to separate people that are serious from people that aren't so serious and present the thing that we have. And if that is of something of value to them, that will be the thing that will take them to the next level. Okay, so that would be the conversion tool. So in the course, what I work on with you is this. Number one, we take the customer avatar worksheet and we spend a lot of time on this, because if you mess this up, right, and you don't have a good foundation, it's going to be like the three little pigs, right? The big bad wolf is going to come and huff and puff and blow your whole business down. That's what's going to happen. You have to nail the avatar first. Now, sometimes I'll get the question and they'll say, well, hey, you know, Bill, how do I know which is my avatar? There's two or three different ones that I could choose from. So that's why I have three different places on this sheet where we list out three avatars. And then we have a really deep discussion about this to make sure that we choose the best one, the one that you're really going to be able to identify with most, because that's what we're going to build your whole business around. Number two, then we're going to take a deeper dive into the psychology of things, right? And again, we're going to spend a lot of time on identifying their fears, frustrations, and desires. That's another worksheet that I have for you in order to do that, because this is how we're going to end up crafting our messaging, our campaigns, when we put them out there, right? Because all of our prospects have a problem that they want to fix. So you have to diagnose the problem, right? As the doctor, if you will, to be able to provide a prescription for them, for the pill that's going to fix their problem. So we have to know what's the problem. We have to create a message around that problem. Then we have to show them how we fix that problem, how we eliminate that problem for them, and then show them what life's like on the other side when the problem is fixed. Now, number three, we need to create a sexy lead magnet, right? We have to be able to get somebody to really understand or really identify with our message, but then we have to offer them something of value, right? We want to bring them into our world. We want to educate, we want to motivate, we want to inspire them, but we also have to get them to get to know, like, and trust us a little bit. So something like this, for an example, now this isn't something that I started with, But the book, right, Slaying the Seven Dragons, The Entrepreneur Hero's Guide to Conquering the Online World of Business, this is a fun book. This is a really cool, sexy lead magnet. That is why when somebody sees this online, they kind of find it interesting. Now, there are some people that will download it just because they like dragons or for whatever reason, and they completely miss the messaging about, you know, building a business around something that they're passionate about. But regardless, something like this is great. And when we offer something, we want to make sure that it's really high quality and high value. There are a lot of people out there that will put out something that's really cheap. They just try to throw something together, or it's way too salesy. It's way too in your face, way too fast. Okay. So what we're doing is when we're putting out a lead magnet, the lead magnet has to be something of value. So when the person receives it and they look at it, they say, wow, if they gave me this for free, I can't even imagine what their paid product or service must be like. That's really what we want to get to with that. The number four, we're going to choose and make ready your flagship product or service. The thing that's going to deliver the goods, the thing that's going to deliver the thing that you promised. And it's going to be so good that we're going to over deliver, right? We're going to really over deliver with the product or service. Because when you do that, right, now people will really see you as that person of value, and they're going to be ready to take action, and they're going to say, yes, I want that, okay? Number five is we're going to build your conversion tool. So we're going to have a lot of discussion around this, and I'm going to give you a lot of different options on different things that you can do to take the person that's interested. They're waving, they're saying, hi, you know, Bill, I'm interested in what you have to offer. But then we're going to pick the conversion tool that's going to work best for you in order to move them from interested into happy paying customer. Then number six, we have to create a killer ad campaign. Okay. Now, an ad campaign can be a paid campaign, or it can be done organically. But either way, the messaging has to be really, really strong to draw them in to say, yes, I want that. Right. So we have to have a really clear killer ad campaign. One of the one of my mentors along the way was just an absolute master at that. That's how he became one of my mentors. And I paid him a lot of money for this. But one of the things that he did was so amazing. He had this fantastic video presence. And he was this guy that would just get online and he would just show himself all over the world, just living the dream. I mean, living the freedom dream that I really wanted. So when you see somebody else doing it and they're so confident in their talk and they talk about, you know, what they've done to be able to get there, to be able to make that happen, it definitely captures your interest. So he never got on there and said, hey, you know, for just $19.95, you can get a ChamWow and some Ginsu knives, right? He didn't come across that way. He was at a whole different level. And he's just a very, very good at capturing your attention and pulling you into the picture. So that was just a killer ad campaign. Now, number seven, we have to launch the campaign. We have to put that campaign out there and see how it does. Now, this is where you have to be patient because you have to test a whole lot of things, right? First of all, you have to test to see if your ad image in your video works. You have to see if the copy attracts the person that you want. Then number two, you have to see if not only do they click on it, but do they actually opt in to learn more about the thing? And then once they get the thing, the sexy lead magnet that you gave them, do they actually consume the thing? Then what happens when you start a conversation with them? What happens? And this is where a lot of people give up or they get really impatient because they want immediate results, right? They want to see somebody buy something right now, right then, right away. But the funny thing is that ourselves as consumers, do we do that? Of course not. We don't do that either. We might be interested in a thing, but just because we're interested in it doesn't mean we're ready to buy it right that second, right? It may be something that we're thinking about doing. We're just not ready to do it now. So we have to make sure that we have a really good follow-up system. That's why, for example, if you go online and you're looking for a gas grill this summer, right? And you go to homedepot.com and you look at gas grills, all of a sudden you start seeing ads for that exact same gas grill that you were looking at, right? So they have that built in. It's a retargeting campaign to help keep that top of the mind in front of you. And they want to make sure, obviously, that you go to their store and you don't go to their competitor store to get that gas grill that George is looking at, okay? So that is where, once you launch the campaign, now what we have to do is we have to give it a long enough period of time to measure, right? You have to spend enough money first, or you have to spend enough time doing an activity and then track the activity so you can inspect what you expected. That's the only way to see if something works, is to test it and then come back and tweak it as necessary. Comedians are famous for that, right? They will go into little dive bars and test out their material. And what they do is they're looking to see what's a hit, what gets a laugh and what doesn't. And they don't go on to the big stage with stuff that they haven't tested first. They go into the small dive bars first and test it. And then only the things that got the laugh that were good become part of their show, become part of their big show, if you want to call it that. So that's exactly what you have to do. You have to go in and you have to test your hooks to see what hits and what doesn't. And then once you know what works, now you can tweak it, we can fine tune it. And then from there, we create a wash, rinse, and repeat system. And now you've got a real business. So the thing that will allow you to be successful by creating your own business comes down to one simple thing, and that is commitment. You have to be 100% committed to being successful. Giving up is not an option, right? If you've got something in your heart, if it's something that you feel like you've been called to do, I personally believe that we've all been given a certain measure of gifts and talents in our lives, and it's our job to use them. But what I also find is that there's a whole lot of people that want what I have, but they're not willing to do what I did to get there. So you have to be 100% committed to learning, to showing up to the training session, to not listening to me talk about a worksheet on your customer avatar, but actually filling out the customer customer avatar sheet to figure out what your customer avatar is, and then taking the sheet that you just filled out and not be happy with it and rip it up and start all over again, right? That's what it takes. And then once you finally figure that part out, then you pull out the sheet on figuring out what their fears, frustrations, and desires. And we don't guess, we start to ask and we start to figure out what is it that makes people kick? Because if we don't figure out what their pain point is and what somebody else wants, right, we're on a fast track to nowhere. And a lot of people do that. They'll create a business and they'll launch the business based on what they think the market wants. But just because you think that's what they want doesn't mean they want that's what they want. You'll know that you get it right when they're willing to pull out their wallet, or they're willing to pull out their purse and pull out their credit card and actually spend money on it. So what we have to do is we have to act. We have to figure out exactly what it is that they're willing to spend money on that they actually do want. Not what we think they want, but what they actually do want. So is this fun? Heck yeah. It is a lot of fun if you are game to play the game, right? Is it frustrating at times? Yes, right? It's going to be frustrating at times. But what kind of victory would it be if it wasn't difficult? If it was easy, right, and everybody could do it, there's no challenge in that. So somebody who's an entrepreneur, somebody who wants to launch a business, it has to be a little bit difficult. And we have to be excited about the process. We have to enjoy playing the game. And we know that if we just do the things and we keep doing it over and over and over again, we're going to learn on what doesn't work. And then we're going to learn what does work. And when everything starts to work and the pieces start to come together, it's so exciting. And here's the thing, we're all stronger, we're all smarter together. Now, I've got a framework that works, right? I've been doing it for 26 years. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to feed my family, and I would have had to, hang my head and go crawling back to a job somewhere, right? So when I talk about this stuff, I can talk about it with confidence and certainty, and that not only does it work for me, but it's also a framework that can work for you. It's just a matter of whether or not you decide it's the right time for you to do it and then go all in. Okay. So there's our framework. From this point forward, there will be different lessons. There will be different modules that we'll go through and take deep dives in this along the way. And again, this is not a short-term process. To become successful with something like this, you have to commit. I personally like to call it like a one-year growth plan, right? I like to say in 12 months Here's where I am right now today. In 12 months, this is where I'd like to be. And here's the thing that I need to do and learn along the way to become the person that is not only capable, but deserves the success that I'm looking for 12 months from now. That's the kind of time frame that I'm looking at. But this is more like a crash course, right? This is a crash course to get you a framework, to get you moving in the right direction as fast as you can possibly, go. And you'll very, very quickly decide whether or not owning your own business or transitioning or doing something else is going to be a good fit for you. So if you're interested in participating in this and in the crash course, then certainly let's have a conversation around that. And we'll talk. I'll get you all the details on what that looks like. All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording right now, and then I will kind of open up and answer any questions that you all have that have joined me here today.